Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Rebecca. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. I said I'm an outlaw.
Yeah, everybody. Jeff Conversations on Brilliant Ideas Radio Network. And how is the star doing tonight?
Hello, Schnookums.
Hello, Schnookums. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Actually, relaxed and rested for a change. That's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, you've been a busy guy, I see, with all your shows that are going on and all the events. And I don't see how you keep up, and plus a radio show on top of that. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mosey on over, assume the position, and be quiet.
Okay, pucker up,
Buttercup.
Show
over to you.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, sir. Well, welcome back. We'll start off our weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Well, welcome back to Def Conversations, broadcasting from the Def Con Sauces compound, located deep under a well-known Superfund site, located here in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. I got an interesting show on deck tonight with another great couple of guests from the infernal land of hot sauce. I have to apologize for not having a show last week. Had some personal stuff I had to take care of that did not involve beer. Imagine that. But we're back. So, this is the first show since the awesome Bowers, PA, 19th Annual Chili Pepper Festival, two weekends ago. Well, the weather had its moments, but the show was awesome as usual. I am still amazed at how the masses of thousands descend on this park, which is pretty much in the middle of nowhere, every year in larger numbers. 30 minutes into the first day, we had a line in front of the DEF CON Sauces tent with people ordering and have us hold on to their stuff until they left at the end of the day. It seems many heeded my warnings from years past, as we usually sell out of everything by the end of each day. The front seat of the truck looked like a layaway storage area from Macy's a month before Christmas. But it was just Flown Friday, which I always found interesting. I mean, don't people work on Fridays? I ended up asking a number of people this year to stop by the booth, and the standard answer came from virtually all of them. I take this Friday off every year. This answer truly warmed my little cryogenically frozen heart. It really did. The attendees to this show are an awesome group of people. Everyone's in a good mood, and they all come to stock up in a major way. Most ask me if DEF CON had anything new since last year. I merely pointed to our newest product, the Contaminated Soil, a fine New Jersey product, which is a hot dry rub made from 8 different kinds of peppers. They didn't even ask for a sample. They just basically threw one or more into the loot bags with a smile on their faces. Life was good. Saturday was pretty much the same, with an interesting rain delay mid-afternoon. It was fun blasting singing in the rain from the DEF CON tent and watching as many danced their way through the exit gates. It really was funny as hell. But our guest tonight was also at the show, and we're going to get his take on it as well in a few minutes. Just a quick mention, there will be a Zombie Biker Chili Fest this Sunday, the 21st, at the Middletown Elks Club, 44 Maynard Street in Middletown, Connecticut, for the George Ryan Scholarship Fund. They'll be holding a DEF CON Sauces wing-eating death match that afternoon. I can't personally make it, but I personally whipped up a special batch of Mistoffelean-style death match sauce for this event. If you feel daring enough, sit at the deathmatch table. I guarantee abject pain. For more info, go to georgeryan.org. There's another cool show, the New York Smoke and Fire Food Fest, coming up on Saturday, October 11th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Pomona, New York, at the Provident Bank Baseball Park. That's a great location around a concourse of a ball field. And for the first year's show last year, it did very well, as did we, hence the reason we're returning. More about that over the next couple of weeks. Last week's farmers markets were both near record sales, so it was quite a lucrative weekend, and many celebratory libations were consumed afterwards. We'll be at the Metuchen, New Jersey farmers market this coming Saturday, September 20th from 9 to 2, and the Chester, New Jersey market on Sunday, September 21st. There are only 3 more weeks remaining at the Chester location, just a heads up. As I posted in a little quick topic, on Facebook for the last couple of weeks, we'll be putting out our first collectible bottle in over 6 years, called the Zero Batch 6. Those that have followed us over these many years are well acquainted with the Zero Batch 1 through 5, and for the last few years, there's been more and more of a push for us to put out another one. We're answering the call. These releases over the years have become quite unique and really do stand out on the shelf. These things are nothing like any other hot sauce collectible out there. Within the various vessels of the Zero Batch series contain our own version of Abject Evil, considered by some to be an extract, by others a quantum reduction. The Zero itself is about 20 pounds of orange habanero crammed into a 0.87-ounce container. It takes more than 8 months to make, and we use no electrical machines or chemicals in this creation. Another fact that kind of sets us apart from pretty much everyone else. Well, we broke the mold on this for the Zero Batch Number 6 release. The Zero itself will be far hotter than before. It will also carry a new name to be announced. So stay tuned for the updates. There will be only 66 of these beauties ever made, and they will sell out quick, I guarantee it. So if you want a chance to grab one of these little puppies, email me at john@defconsauces.com and get on the mailing list. The release is scheduled for sometime around late November. Well, here's the lead-in for tonight. Contacted our guests tonight just after the Bowers Pennsylvania show, and they're happy to come on to discuss themselves, the company, and what they're all about. The names are Chris Bauer and Aaron Mocha from Jack Jekyll's Gourmet Pepper Sauces. Being relatively new to the industry and looking at around their website, they definitely have some interesting products, and we'll go over them each in just a couple of moments. Anyway, let's get Chris and Aaron on here and get an idea of what makes them tick. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Hey,
thanks for having us on.
Oh, not a problem at all. Okay, we're gonna go through a few questions here, all about who you guys are, what you guys offer as products, so everyone out there can learn all about you. Time flies around here, so let's kind of get started. Are you ready?
Yes, we are.
All right, cool. The first question, this is basically to both of you, is I ask everyone who comes on here, what got you into the rather unique hot sauce industry? I mean, it really does take a certain kind of a person. I don't know if either one of you want to answer.
I'll start off with that. What kind of got us into it was my partner, Aaron. We had worked together in the advertising industry and just working day in and day out, hours on end. You know, we're obviously eating in the office and everything, and he started bringing in some hot sauces. And I had never previously eaten anything hot, less than probably like 2 or 3 years ago, and he started getting me introduced to the hot sauces, so we started getting hotter and hotter stuff. And we found that a lot of the hot sauces out there had a lot of vinegar in them and didn't have enough of this, didn't have enough of that. So we figured, you know, let's put our money where our mouth is. Like, let's start making our own. And he started making up a couple of different concoctions, and we started bringing them around to just friends' houses, you know, good beer fests, things of that nature. And everybody started giving us the same old rap of, hey, this is really good. You guys should sell this.
Right.
Which wound up being, like, the worst words after getting into it you ever heard, because you guys should sell this is a lot easier said than done, we found out.
Yep. Oh, so yeah. Welcome to small business, my friend.
not only small business, but selling acidic food is akin to selling nuclear waste, apparently, as far as the government's concerned, because filling out the paperwork and getting through Department of Agriculture and all the I guess red tape you have to get through to put a little bottle on the shelf.
Right.
You know, that was a learning experience. But, yeah, what got us into it was just a love of the food itself.
That's
and
cool.
Then what kept us here is literally the community in the hot sauce, like at the shows, the people. I even call them fans. Like, it's a real, true knit community, and that's what we kind of fell in love with, and that's what's keeping us here is just meeting the other vendors. It's not like a cutthroat type thing. Like, you yourself have your own sauces and you're bringing us on your show. I mean, it's just a real community and a real sense of like, hey, what are you doing? Let me experience that. Here's what we're doing. And it's just an amazing, it's really been like an amazing kind of eye-opening thing for us. And we just fell in love
cool.
with
I mean,
it.
Now, let me ask you a question. When did you start up the actual company? Was it a while ago? I wasn't quite sure.
It was 1 year ago in August.
Nice. Okay.
So,
you guys really fell into the fold really quick. I mean, you found what kind of a tight knit community it was, because it's amazing how many companies I've seen, like, you know, about the last decade or so, how many companies, they're amazed at the camaraderie. You would think everybody's cutthroat because they all go through the stupid government red tape like you guys did,
mm-hmm.
where nobody has a sense of humor and a fine's going to take your house. So, I mean, everybody had to go through that stuff. And then you realize we're all here to support each other, because if everyone does well, the industry as a whole does better.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, we got into it because of the food itself and the hot sauce and all that. But like I said, what really kept us going and what kept us pushing through the months of red tape is the fact of, like, we thoroughly enjoy doing this because of the people who come out to the shows, because of the people who put on the shows. Like, we get support on both ends of the table, and it's been phenomenal. And it's something that
That's awesome.
Really hope that we can gain ground on, because we want to become a part of the community. And it's just a phenomenal
Absolutely.
Thing that's happened.
Well, it's amazing, too. You can literally go to just about anybody and ask them questions, and they'll be more than happy to help you out. I mean, they're not going to give you their ancient Chinese secrets of their products. That's fine.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, if you have specific questions on how would you market this, where should I go for this, everybody's happy to tell you. And it's an industry to its own. It really is.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, a great, like, band of people. And it's the people that are really – you know, making the business not business, making it more of like fun. It's almost like going to picnics or barbecues every time we go out to these shows. Like, it's a lot of work. You yourself know there's, you know, weeks, months of preparation, and it's a long day you put in there in the sun. And this year it was really hot at Bowers, but we had a great time doing it, an absolutely great time.
That's good. That's awesome. And it's an interesting name. Where did the Jack Jekylls come from? What's the history on the name?
You're both
laughing. This would be good. All right, good.
We kind of came up with our sauce as in, like, we loved hot sauces, but we didn't like all the vinegar. So our sauces are mainly non-vinegar based whatsoever. We only make one sauce with vinegar. But so it was kind of like we like it hot, but we want it full flavored. So it was kind of like a dual sauce we had going on, because anybody who's tasted our sauces know that we're not going to, like, you know, tear up your eyes. We're not going to turn your tongue to styrofoam. It's a full-flavored sauce, you know, that type of deal. So it's kind of like the Jack and Jill and the Jekyll and Hyde, like, where people are like, oh, it's a hot sauce. It's too hot for me. Like, no, try it. So it's kind of like a duality sauce. So we managed to, like, merge together the Jack and Jill and the Jekyll and Hyde into Jack Jekyll pepper sauces.
Love it.
And, you know, kind of came about that way.
Sure. No, that's awesome. That's cool. That's the kind of stuff I like knowing about. Like, where'd the name come from? We've had guests over the years, but I never knew where it came from. I learned on this show, and I think it's really cool. It comes from the most obscure places. But anyway, now,
yeah.
do you guys have culinary backgrounds at all, either one of you?
No. Actually, my partner, Aaron, I always refer to him as the mad scientist. He's the inventor of all these sauces. And what's great is it's total trial and error. It's really mad science. I'm sure you guys know, too. Take a handful of this, take a spoonful of that, throw it in a pot and see if you're going to cry or if you're going to be happy.
Yeah. No, because that's funny, because I've noticed that many in this industry really don't have a background, and it's more of a passion thing, which it sounds like you guys are coming straight from, which I think that makes it that much more cool, because it allows creativity to never conform to the normalism of regular products. You're kind of going with what you want to do. There's no parameters. Do what you want to do and see what it does. If something sucks, it's not going to sell. If something's good, it will. I mean, it's taken simplicity to its finest, but it's still not.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's literally as clear cut as just that. Like, if it's good, it'll move. If it's not, it won't. But I mean, even Ben and Jerry have their graveyard of ice cream flavors that didn't move that they like. I mean, so it's
absolutely
kind of really neat seeing what people, you know, taste in the sauce, what they like, what they don't like, and everybody's heat tolerance is as varied as the people at the show. And
oh, absolutely!
Really, really
yep.
Cool.
Yep. I mean, we have most of our stuff. We have like that zero stuff that I talked about earlier. But I mean, that's off the charts hot. But I mean, we don't. I tell people, it's like, if I made it any hotter, I wouldn't sell as much of it. And you got your chili. You got your like major chili heads. The hotter the better. They're a microcosm of the whole picture. It's like a very minor piece of the pie. People want to. The American palate is changing to a more spicy side, but gradually. Not like, okay, let me go eat a habanero. No, let's start with jalapenos first. Yeah, and kind of work your way up to it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're gonna run away scared. I'm not eating that crap again. But now, just so we don't run out of time, because as I told you, it's 30 minutes ago, real quick. Mm-hmm. I'd like to jump into your product line and kind of talk about each one of them. You have a pretty eclectic assortment of different sauces. So let's kind of see what they're all about. Let's see. The first one that I noticed on the site was the gourmet pepper sauce, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Gourmet pepper sauce. What is that all about?
Yeah, that's our basically our flagship one. That's the one we started with. That's our little baby. Unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, it's a good problem to have. The Jack Frost has really overshadowed it and failed, but the gourmet pepper sauce is exactly that. We really didn't want to refer to it as a hot sauce, because it's not a hot sauce. It's pretty much a mild to medium, depending on, again, like where your heat level is, but it's rich, full flavor, no vinegar. It's a really thick, hearty sauce. It doesn't soak into the bun or run off the food. It has a a great peppery, smoky, real deep, rich, smoky flavor to it. There's a real mouthful of flavors when you get that. And there's a really good smell to it, too. Like, some of the hot sauces, again, like I said, have a lot of vinegar. And sometimes you can get that vinegary smell. Like, we wanted something that was really good, rich, hearty. Like, you know, people think that we cook it on an open barbecue pit just to get that good, rich,
hardiness. I noticed in the actual product there is red habanero. So that's why I was asking. And because, we have a habanero horseradish. People are like, oh, my God, it's got a – no, you don't have to use a lot of it because the habanero is actually a very good-tasting pepper. You don't need a lot. And try this, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's really not that hot." And you guys have figured that out too. And but most people want to see habanero on a label to put the bottle right down.
To get there. It took a while to figure that out ourselves. We're like, "Oh wait, you know what? We don't need a pound in here. Maybe we can use a few ounces."
Exactly. Oh, that's funny. Now you had mentioned that the next one I was going to bring up was the Jack Frost Winter Cinnamon. Now that one really piqued my interest. I was like, "That sounds pretty cool," and it sounds like a really cool blend. What's that one all about?
This one actually, I fought tooth and nail against, and I was wrong, and I'll be quiet from here on out because Aaron came up with this one. He's like, "You know what? A lot of people use cinnamon to extend the base of chilies." He's like, "I really want to get into cinnamon," and I'm not a big cinnamon person, and neither is he. I'm like, cinnamon and hot sauce, like, put down the beer, you're done. Like, you're crazy. I was like, no, it's just not going to happen. So he went full bore ahead and balanced out the cinnamon really well with a maple bacon syrup that he found, and it has no bacon in it, but it's a maple bacon syrup flavor. Yeah, a little bit of sweetness with a little bit of cinnamon on the front. Like, it gives you a true taste journey. Like, when you first taste the sauce, you get a little touch of cinnamon up front, and then as you literally flavor through it, you get a nice maple bacon syrup sweetness in there, and then at the very end, you get a little bit of that smoky pepperiness from a dry chipotle pepper that we use. And like I said, I don't even like cinnamon, but it is a fantastic sauce, and it's gotten huge response for us. It's literally
you said it's killing the it's killing the first sauces on sale. That's whatever, man. Whatever sells is good.
Whatever sells is good. But like I said, I was proven wrong, and actually, I use it now on everything too. Like the Red Sol, the Jack Frost, and the Gourmet. I refer to them as my utilitarian sauces. I put them on everything. Like
very
even
cool.
the Jack Frost. I put that in my pancake mix now.
Nice. No, because my first thing when I read the description of it was a hot buttered rum.
Hot buttered rum for the.
Put the Jack Frost in with a hot buttered rum. I think with the hotness of it, I think it would wake up a hot buttered rum. Give it a shot.
Actually, yeah, we like using quite a few of our sauces in different drinks and things of that nature, too.
Absolutely.
Hand in hand. If you're going to have hot food, you might as well have cold drinks. So
it goes
hand in hand. And, luckily enough, Aaron's wife is a bartender, so she's a little mad scientist on the bar end of things. And we don't mind spending hours and hours in the lab researching those types of things.
Oh, you guys are too funny. Now you quickly mentioned the next one coming. It was the Red Sol. That seems kind of like the gourmet pepper sauce with an added kick.
Yeah, that's it's the exact same recipe as the gourmet pepper sauce. Because when we first came out with the gourmet, we wanted a nice even sauce that could be applied to everything. And first words out of everybody's mouth as soon as we went to our shows were heat it up. We want it hotter. And we're like, we thought this was hot. Okay, it was a real eye opener for us. We started in August. And in September, we went to Bowers. It was like being a high school football team getting invited to the Super Bowl. We're like, okay. even just setting up for us there was intimidating. So we're like, all right, we need to heat this up then. All right, let's heat it up. So we wound up heating it up by adding more of the habanero peppers in it, which gave it a nice little citrusy note. So
yep.
It is the same flavor as the gourmet, but the gourmet has got a little bit more smoke to it, where the Red Sol has a little bit more of that citrus bite to it, which is actually nice, but it's right along the same lines.
I mean, what would you suggest putting it on? Anything in particular? Or?
Like I said, the gourmet, the frost, and the sol are utilitarian. You can literally put them on anything. And we even go as far as to put it on we sample it now with watermelon slices.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what the hell? What?
Just to show, because we heard from a client of ours, a chef, which I didn't even know you could do. He lightly grills watermelon slices, like he sears them on each end, which gives a nice little barbecue flavor to the watermelon slice.
Right.
And then he puts either the sole or the gourmet on there, and he was using it as hors d'oeuvres, and he said he got a huge response for it, and we thought he,
very cool.
You know, he lost his mind. So we started trying it, and now that's how we use our watermelon. Like, it's fantastic on all sorts
that's
of
cool.
food. Even my own mother, she uses it in her meatloaf now. She mixes it into the meatloaf, the red sole, and lets it cook throughout the whole meatloaf. It's fantastic.
Nice.
It adds,
oh, that's cool.
And it adds an amazing smell to the house, too.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Now the next one up would be the green sauce. Now, whenever I hear the word green in a sauce, I immediately think jalapenos, and I was pretty much on target with this one.
Yeah.
Now, what makes up this product? I mean, it sounds like it could be very versatile, just like all, like the other ones you mentioned have basically become table sauces, which is, you know, that's a good mm-hmm. thing. What would you use something like this on?
The green sauce, fantastic on fish tacos. I use it almost like a relish.
Okay.
Because we have it, it's a little lighter, a little snappier. It has a cilantro, a lot of dill in there. Has a little bit of banana pepper for sweetness. And
yep.
This is the only sauce that we do use a vinegar in. We use a white wine vinegar in it because we want to keep it that like light, crispy kind of a flavor to where we have our Jack Frost is our winter cinnamon kind of our winter flavor.
Right.
We want it kind of like a summer flavor. So we went with a green
That's
sauce.
Cool.
Actually, you know, we went on vacation and we went to down in Florida, we went to a little beach bar. And they had just a nondescript bottle of green sauce on the table, and we tried it. And I was like, we need to make a green sauce. I was like, this is amazing. And I asked the owner, too. I was like, what's this green sauce? He's like, I don't know. He's like, my chef makes it in the back. It was just an unmarked label, and it was just like a little proprietary sauce for them. I was like, we're buying a bottle of this. I was like, we're going to steal it. I was like, this is amazing.
Too funny.
So,
oh, that's awesome.
Like,
now the one
does. He's like, no, enjoy.
No, now the one that is different from virtually anything that I know is on the market right now is the pineapple sauce. That one, when I read this, my interest was definitely triggered. I mean, pineapple and orange habanero is one of my that's actually one of my all-time favorite peppers. Whenever you hear of an ingredient like pineapple, I got to ask, what else is in it? Is pineapple strong for a flavor unto itself? This sounds like it would be good on like a ton of different things. What would you use something like that on?
This is, like you said, the pineapple has a good pineapple citrusy, real rich flavor, and it has
sure.
a good body to the sauce, too, which is nice.
Okay.
But it's also mixed with some nice ginger in there to balance out a little bit of that tanginess, a little bit of that acidity to the tongue.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
And this makes a fantastic glaze for ham. It's really good on any kind of, like, heavily salted foods. It's great on salmon. Or any foods that, like, are already strongly flavored, like an Indian food or Chinese food, it's
sure.
really, really good on them. Adds a real light, like, kind of crisp sparkle almost to, like, any really already heavily flavored dishes. It's really good
Very
on
cool.
that. Now, Aaron, he uses it, again, on everything. But, I'm a little bit more picky what I put the pineapple sauce on, but like I said, for ham, like either ham steaks or as a glaze for ham, phenomenal.
I can definitely see that. Yep.
Like, yeah. It's really, really good. Although,
that's cool.
I don't know. It might make a really good kicking little pina colada too. We haven't tried that out yet, but we're gonna enter into these realms. These are the nooks and crannies you have to explore.
You took the word with the pina colada. That was actually my next question. Have you tried it in the pina colada? That was actually my next question. That's good. Now, in addition to all these awesome products, now you got some new stuff coming out too. Now, I saw in here. Seasoning. Now, that leaves a little to the imagination. I'm like, okay, are they going to be assorted ones? Is it a single product? Would it be more of a table kind of a dry rub? What is the seasoning thing you guys are doing?
Well, right now, it's based on the flavor of the red sole.
Got it.
A lot of people like using our sauces on, obviously, meats, a lot of barbecues and anything like that, but you get any kind of, like, real true grit barbecuers. Sauce is a bad word. They just want rubs and meat
yep.
and smoke. So a lot of our, you know, people are like, hey, listen, we love your sauce. Do you make any kind of this, any kind of that? And we're like, we don't make any dry rubs. We don't make any spices. And then me and Aaron got to talking. Why don't we make any rubs or dry spices yet?
Right.
So literally we started the easiest way we could. We're like, okay, let's take a couple of gallons of our red sole and dehydrate it and see and start from there. So
right.
after hours and hours of dehydration, we came up with a really good base for the seasoning. And then, of course, we just added more spices and a little bit more kick of this and dried habanero
sure.
in there. stir it all up, and the seasoning, we're calling it just seasoning right now because it's still kind of in a testing phase where we're getting a really good response with the blend we have now.
But, good.
You know, like, it, being an artist, you're never quite done, you know, fiddling with something. So
agreed. And you kind of have to stop the experimentation at some point and say, let's try it right as this. We can always add more to it later. I'll tell you, that's why I think dry seasonings have really taken off in the last couple of years, because I find using dry ingredients is a lot of fun. It doesn't make as much of a mess when you're experimenting. Mm-hmm. And also, the shelf life is usually a lot longer. So you can really screw around with things and not have to worry about, oh, God, I left it out on the counter overnight. You know, I'm starting to get into the more dry stuff myself, which I think it's kind of a – I see a big trend going towards dry. I really do.
Yeah, I see that as well. Even the St. Lucifer guys, they get a really good response from their it's just a habanero salt, but they're selling, and they're getting a really good response from that. And we talk with them a lot. They're another great set of guys. They really help us out a lot. You know, we help them out. It's, again, a real good community thing. But, yeah, so we're getting more and more into these dry rubs and spices, and I think it's getting to the point now where our current spice is pretty much locked in.
Right.
And now we're looking at, okay, can we come up with a little bit more of a citrus one? Can we come up with one a little more smoky? Can we come up with one, you know, a little more black pepper? It's almost like making a spice in the flavor range of, like, any kind of beef jerky you can think of.
Right. Okay. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. I do jerky at home every once in a while. I get a little Excalibur unit I use, and I have so much fun with the dry spices. And we're going to be coming out with a whole bunch of them. Probably next year. You know, sometime, because dry spices are so cool to play around with, because you can go into like a Restaurant Depot or any large food place and just get those big jars of different spices, buy one of everything, and start mixing and see what tastes good. That's how I do it. And just say, you have a basic idea of what you want, play around. That's what the kitchen is for.
Yeah, we have our commercial kitchen for our production of everything, but we use kind of like Aaron's basement as our little laboratory down there. And we've actually had to like install a couple more cupboards just because of that. Like, hey, here's a cool spice, put it on the rack. Here's a neat spice, put it on the rack. Now we go everywhere. My first thing is, like, where's the spice rack? Where's the dried goods? Where's the different kinds of fruits and vegetables? Anything that can be dehydrated or ground up or put in the sauce somehow. You know, like, it used to be like, hey, where's the magazine rack? Let me check out, you know, the new fun stuff or whatever. Now I go right to the spice rack. And whatever I can dry and put into a sauce, now my whole direction has changed.
That is good. Now what I noticed on your site was, we're almost running out of time here. I want to get as much in as possible. One thing I noticed stood on your website, you guys really focus on food pairing, which a lot of sites don't really do. I find that, I find it a really important part of a good meal. I mean, what are some of your favorite pairings with your products? Just a real quick one. Each thing, what do you think it tastes best on so people can give it a shot?
My favorite thing is pretty much like the meat and potatoes of it. Like, burgers, I think, are an excellent kind of empty canvas for any kind of sauce, no matter who you're going across, because you have nice bread in there that's going to help take any kind of burn out of there, but you also don't have, like, overly seasoned food that's going to take away from the sauce. So I love, like, trying out new sauces on burgers themselves. And pizza is, again, a fantastic canvas for any kind of hot sauce you're going to go with.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's what I tell everybody. Use their stuff. Everybody uses it on pizza and hamburgers. It's like the go-to for everything. You're right. It's a blank tablet.
It's a blank canvas. Yep, and if it gets too hot for you, you can just turn it around and start eating the crust or something. So it's like really nice and easy to kind of like edge your way into it and gauge how much you feel like sweating that night. But
absolutely. I've got another quick one for you here. Are you doing any more shows this year, or are you pretty much kind of wrapping things up, or where can people find you, like, later this year at any shows besides the website?
We are winding things down a little bit. We're going to be at the Allentown Fairgrounds. Aaron, what's the other name of that?
I think it's a Lehigh Valley Barbecue Festival.
Barbecue
competition.
Okay,
that'll
cool.
What
are the dates for those?
That is the 26th, I believe.
Yeah, the show is
it's a 3-day weekend festival, but we'll be there on the 26th, I think.
Of September.
We're gonna be there on the 27th, a Saturday of September.
27th.
It's the 26th, 27th, 28th, I believe.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, as you hear, the music is already on. That's why I was trying to move things right along. But hey, I'll tell you what, we're gonna give you guys a little time to experiment in the kitchen. We're gonna get you guys back on here for a second show. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome. Fantastic. We love it.
I am definitely not done with you guys. You guys sound like you know what you're doing, and you're almost in the same mold as me. Just start experimenting. If something tastes good, give it a shot. If you don't, no one's ever going to know.
Well, I'm glad it sounds like we know what we're doing, because the fun part is not knowing.
I love you guys. All right, cool. Yeah, we've got to kind of wrap it up here, but hey, there's the music, and we definitely got to wrap it up. So, hey, I'd like to thank both of you, Chris and Aaron, for being on from Jekyll's Gourmet Pepper Sauces. Look forward to seeing them at other venues down the road, and I wish them the best of luck. Check them out at Jack, J-A-K, Jekyll, J-E-C-K-E-L, peppersauce.com, and order up. They've got a number of interesting and unique products. Hey, this is John Dilley, president of DEFCON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero, horseradish, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at www.defconsauces.com. Hey, until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody.
Give me two shots, we don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm over 1%, patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw biker that I met on the west, I'll probably never see the Opry. If I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bump me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. At the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hey, three knows me, and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like them, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.